Thank you, band. You guys can take your seats. We just can we honor the band today before we carry on? We love you guys. You use your gifts to glorify our King. You come here early and you battle through technical issues. To the sound guys at the back there, thank you. Thank you for giving it a go for Jesus. And so they've been up here the whole weekend. As I said, we were here on Friday. The decor team decorated the rocks and the tomb, just symbolizing the end, which is what happened on Friday. That was the end. And today they've done a magnificent job just again celebrating, turning graves into gardens, because that's exactly what's happened on Easter Sunday. The tomb, the rocks, the grave, the tombstone on Friday, death. It's sort of two halves to a weekend, isn't it? The first half was on Friday when we saw the end. That was the end. And today we come together here and it's the beginning. And that's just, again, so mindful of God, the way He does things in our lives. Because as human beings, we always start with a story in the beginning and then it finishes with an ending. Today, we realize God does things upside down to the ways of the world. There was the end on Friday. Good Friday had an ending. It was the tomb. It was the grave. Today, it is the beginning of something incredible because of what Jesus did on Easter Sunday, rising from the dead. And today, the beginning that we celebrate today, friends, has no end. You have to catch that. There's no ending to the beginning of what started today, because it's the end in our eternal life one day, which is actually another beginning, because we get to celebrate and live life in a garden, the proper garden, the garden of heaven, the way God destined us to live. Feedback of no chap. Which are we in a stadium? Must I go to handheld, brother? Thanks, Shannon. We keep trying here. So as we sit here together today, friends, we have to realize that the beginning we celebrate today has no end. Now, for us, we didn't get to experience this whole weekend in real life. We spoke about it at the prayer meeting this morning. Can you imagine if on Friday you had gone to somebody's funeral? That's much better, but thank you. And you were at the funeral and you saw the coffin come in, and perhaps there was even a viewing, and you saw that person and you realized, you had no doubt that they were dead. But then you come together again on Sunday and you're sitting and you're singing, or you're sitting with your friend or your girlfriend, and you suddenly look out the corner of your eye, you see that person walk into the tent. I would have lost your attention, no doubt. You would have, it's impossible. I can't believe it. Jesus is walking through here. He's alive. Just Friday I saw he was dead. I saw him on the cross. No ways it can be possible. Friends, Easter Sunday is exactly the story that we are sharing with you today. This is exactly, Jesus was dead, but today he is alive and he lives forever and ever and ever. And it's the beginning today. The beginning of Easter Sunday depicts four things today that we're going to take home with us. Pierre, stay with me, my mate. Number one, the word intimacy. Number two, the word advocacy. It's a big word, Haley. Advocacy, we'll get that there now. And then the third word is ministry. And the fourth word is power. Beginning of four things that we celebrate today. That's the framework that we're going to share around. So I'm glad your car lights are off, but we're not going to be too long this morning in this tent. It's getting hot, but go with me to verse 16. Of John chapter 20, that text that Michelle read. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, teacher, master. In those days, you have to understand that that woman had no place of standing. There was no place of social standing for women in society in those days. If they had to go to court and give testimony, their testimony was not valid, didn't count if they went to court. They had no place of standing in society. Women would not be called by their names in public. They had no place of standing in society. Today on Easter Sunday, the first person that Jesus speaks to when he appears to her is a lady, and he says to her, Mary. He shares with her, he calls her by name as he celebrates this glorious day that takes place of him being alive. He's conquered the grave. Mary, I am alive. I looked across the tent this morning during worship. I saw a lady. She wasn't singing. Her eyes were fixed on the garden. And I was wondering if through her past, whatever her story has been part of in her life, I don't know her story. I don't know if perhaps she's been called by her name, by a man or by her dad or by a cousin or an uncle. And maybe she's faced, I don't know her story. But I was watching her, she was gazed on the gardens, and I was wondering if her life has changed through the power of Jesus, or if it's still a grave and still a tomb and there's still death around her life. I want to say to women today, you may have intimately been called or allowed a man to call you by name, and you're saying, why must I allow Jesus to call me by my name? Because he will never leave you. He might have left you, ma'am. Jesus will never leave you. Jesus will never forsake you. And nothing can separate you from the love of Jesus, your eternal Savior. Allow that to sink in this morning as you think of Jesus calling her by her name, Mary, on Easter Sunday. It makes me think of what Jesus says in John 10. He says, my sheep know my voice. I call them by name. If you know his voice, then just like Mary, he will call you by name and he will give you your rightful place. Not socially, but he calls you, your king calls you by name and you will have a place of standing. And then Jesus says to Mary in verse 17, he says this, do not hold on to me, Mary. She's trying to grasp me. She wants him to stay with her. Don't hold on to me, Mary. Instead, he says, go to, I love this, my brothers. Benoni, we say, in our own Benoni slang, Jesus might have said, go to my boots. Go to my brothers. Now, there's something deep here around this because in John 13, Jesus calls his disciples servants. Okay, I guess, yes, we are Jesus' servants. Then in John 15, Jesus calls his disciples friends. Now, for the very first time in John chapter 20, he calls his disciples brothers. That's deep, eh? There's something personal there. There's something intimate there where Jesus is calling us his brothers. I wonder if you're sitting here today next to your biological brother. Maybe you might not be sitting next to them. Maybe they came late and they got stuck in the coffee queue. But Mac Attack, my mate, I know you're there and you have your brother sitting here for the very first time in church with you, with your mom, Auntie Janelle. Ben, your brother's very shy. You're an extrovert, but would you stand this morning? And where's your butt? Yeah, Mac, stand up there, my mate. Lizzie, you got a great husband. Why don't you go stand next to each other? They are biological brothers. They are at church for the very first. That's a beautiful picture. It is a joy to do life with you guys. Let's give them a hand. Just keep standing there, mate. Yeah. Where's my teammates, John and Eric? I asked them to be in this morning because they always out in the parking. And are they there? There we go. Eric and John, my teammates for Jesus, they are biological brothers. Yeah. Hey, anybody else who's here with a brother? Maybe you're a sister and you have a brother who's with you here today. I met a man for the first time next to Donovan. His name is Clint. My brother, my biological brother is Clint. He's with his family. Oh, I wish he was here today. Anybody else who's got a brother here? Yes, I won't pick on you, man. Just put, there we go, Fissy. You got your two brothers here. There we go. There's four of you. I forget. And a sister, the three brothers. Where's your other butt? He's outside with kids. Anyone else? There must be some brothers here, some siblings here. Where's Brother Carter? Where's Carter? Is he here? Yeah, okay. Anybody else? Malcolm. Oh, there's two brothers there. Get them to stand there, but I see that they're not. Their dad's telling them to stand. Just stand up, bud. What's your boys' names? What's your names, guys? Keegan and Cullen, lovely having you in white today. Malcolm, where's my mate Malcolm? Why don't you come up here, Mel? Just keep standing, you brothers. Come up here, Malcolm. You didn't know you were going to be called up this morning. Where's Malcolm chilling? Is he outside? Come here, bud. We see brothers, biological brothers, standing here today. And this man, his name is Malcolm Chellen. He's obviously not my biological brother. But he's my brother because we both have given our life to Jesus. And so we have this genealogy that gets formed. You see, you're a blood brother. You're a blood brother. Keegan Cullen, you're blood brothers. John and Eric are blood brothers. And I bet there's one or two there sitting. But this man, we are not blood brothers, but because of what we have given our lives to with Jesus, we become brothers. And we don't have much in common. He drives an Haval. He used to drive a Jetta. He likes hot food. I certainly can't stand it.
Not anymore.
I battle. But I stand here with my arm around you, and I see these biological brothers. We are brothers in Christ. We give our lives to him. And so on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, God is doing something intimate. He's putting people together. He's calling Mary by her name. And then he says, brothers and ladies, that includes you. We have this deep, intimate relationship with Jesus. He calls us brothers. You guys can take your seats. Thank you, Mac. Thank you, Ben. Cullen, Jaden, John, and Eric, and those three guys there. On Friday, Michelle preached, she spoke about one of the seven things that Jesus said when he was on the cross. You can go and read about it. It was amazing. Father, forgive them. That was what we spoke about on Sunday. But Jesus, after saying those seven things, bowed his head and he cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then he gave up his spirit. And at that exact moment in the temple, there was this curtain, they say very high, maybe higher than this tent, very, very thick curtain. At that moment, the curtain tore from the top down. What was this curtain dividing? It was separating the people from the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest was allowed behind the curtain. And when Jesus gave up his spirit, he said, it is finished. That curtain tore in two so that everybody has access to the presence of God. And Jesus says, I'm ascending to my Father. Mary, I'm going to my Father. I am ascending to your Father too. He's also your Father, Mary. He says, I am ascending to my God. Mary, I'm going to your God, who is also my God and your God. What is he doing? What is he saying? He's putting an intimate family together. There's no longer separation. We now all have access into God's family. We all are adopted into God's family because of what Jesus has done on the cross. He's saying, by my death and resurrection, you have been reconciled to my and your Heavenly Father. You've been adopted into an intimate family. Brothers, that's what he's saying. That's the one-liner that sums up the theology of Christianity. We're a family. We've been adopted into his family. And Jesus is saying, brothers, your God is my God and my God and your God and my Father. We are now one family. My neighbor, he speaks about Jesus. This morning I saw his study light go on. I don't know why God has put us next to a family like that. He speaks about Jesus, but he does not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And oh, how I would love him to understand who Jesus really is. He does want access to God. He does want to go to heaven one day. Why? Because inside every single one of us, there's something inside of us that wants us to have access to God one day. There's something inside of us that says maybe there's life after death. And if there is, I would like to be in heaven with God. I would like to be reconciled with God. Each one of us have that inside of us, friends. And many try and gain access to God through what they do. Their good works. Many would believe I'm going to go to heaven one day because I've lived a good life and I've paid taxes and I've done this and I've done that. That's why I'll have access to God one day. Some believe if they follow a strict life following rules and religion and have to go to church and have to do that, many believe that if they follow rules, they'll have access to God one day. But actually, friends, the truth lies in Easter Sunday. The truth lies in Jesus Christ. And catch this. Many religions do believe that Jesus did come to this earth. They believe he was born, but they don't believe that he died on the cross for their sins. They do not believe that he is the Son of God and that he rose again. And I ask you today, as you sit here on Easter Sunday in this tent on this magnificent land, where's your faith right now on Easter Sunday? When I have to ask you about Jesus, what would you say about Jesus? Came to this earth, he was a prophet. Is he? And you two brothers sitting at the back there, you could have stood, but what a joy to see you holding your daughter, miracle baby. Where's your faith? How do you see Jesus? Is he the Son of God? Is he the one that's risen for a purpose? Do you have an intimate personal relationship with Jesus? Through the resurrection of Jesus, he calls Mary by name. He calls you by name. We are called brothers and we are reconciled with the Father. Intimacy, number one, it's available. Do you have that with Jesus, our King, today? It's the beginning of this beautiful relationship where one day ultimately we'll be in the garden with our Heavenly Father one day. Let's look at verse 17 again. Mel, you got it for us. It says, "Do not hold on to me, Mary, because I have not yet ascended to the Father." Don't hold on to me, Mary. I'm going soon. I'm going to go up to heaven to be with my Father. So we have to look at the resurrection, Jesus rising from the dead, and ascension when he goes back to heaven. It's twofold. You can't just look at resurrection and not look at him actually going up to heaven. There's a reason why he was going up to heaven. Think about it. He could have just risen from the dead and he could have gone straight up to heaven. Why did he come back? Why did he use Mary? Why did he come and say to his disciples, "Brothers"? Because he's wanting to show us, he's wanting to reveal to us, "I'm alive. I've conquered the grave." And we as Christians today are the beneficiaries of those witnesses who saw that happen with their own eyes. Friends, number one, intimacy. He calls us by name. Brothers, ladies, that includes you. We are sons and daughters reconciled with our Heavenly Father because of what Jesus did today on Easter Sunday. Number two, the beginning of advocacy. Quite a higher grade word. Jesus becomes our advocate. Look at verse 17. Jesus says to Mary, "Don't hold on to me, Mary, for I have not yet gone and ascended to be with my Father. Go instead, tell my brothers, and go to them, tell them I'm ascending to the Father who is also your Father, and I'm going up to my God who is also your God." You know why I think he says that to Mary? Because he's saying to Mary, "Mary, you need to relate to me differently now. I'm not going to be with you now, Mary. I know you want me to be with you. I know you don't want to lose me again. But Mary, we're going to relate differently now. I'm no longer going to be with you, Mary." And part of that relationship and how we relate to Jesus, we've got to understand why. Why is Jesus going back to heaven? Why couldn't he just stay with us here on earth? When we understand why Jesus went back up to heaven, the lights are going to come on. He's our advocate. Let me tell you a quick story of what happened this week to try and help us, myself, understand what this whole advocate thing really is all about. I was driving with a man in our church. He is an advocate. And we were going to see a businessman at his office this week. And we were driving in his car, this advocate's car. I must be honest, his driving is shocking. I was sitting in the passenger seat and I turned him, "But there's a car in your blind spot," because he's moving over. And he's like, "Oh yeah, I didn't quite see that." I had my safety belt on for the rest of the time. And I won't tell you who he is because he might sue me for defamation of character. But he's a man and advocate in our church. And as we're driving together to see this businessman at his office along the N12 highway, we're talking about life. And because he's my mate, we're talking about some very deep things. And I'm sharing with him some of the stuff that I'm going through in my life. And we're chatting and we're having a really good DMC, deep, meaningful conversation. That's what it means. And as we're driving in the middle lane with my safety belt on, here in the fast lane comes a car fast shooting by us, and I recognize the vehicle. It is the vehicle of a top hotshot lawyer in Gauteng. And I said to this advocate mate of mine, I said, there goes so-and-so in his car. Do you know him? He says, yeah, of course I know him. He says to me, that man is a shareholder at one of the top law firms in Sandton. It's like one of the big guys, you know? I thought, okay, I didn't quite know that. And so we drove to our meeting and we had a good time. And that night, just before I went horizontal and I fell asleep, Dieter, don't fall asleep, mate, I fell asleep. But before I fell asleep, but I thought, you know what? If I had to face a sentence judgment, if I had committed a crime, maybe life imprisonment, perhaps maybe even the death sentence, which advocate would I choose? Which lawyer would I choose to come and defend me in this situation? I mean, I've got my mate. We connect. We talk. He gets me. He understands me. He is with me. Would I phone him? Or would I phone the top hotshot lawyer from Santa? You know who I would phone? I'd phone my friend. I would phone the man who is a very successful advocate. I would phone the man who gets me, who is my friend. Because I can imagine myself, if I'd committed this crime and I was facing judgment and I was in a prison cell, I was in a chukki, and I didn't have much, I can imagine this man, my advocate, would come and visit me, might even sneak in a coffee. He's my friend, he gets me, he has much compassion. And he's highly skilled, but he's my friend. And I can imagine he would probably sit with me in my prison cell and he would say to me, buddy, how did you get here? Talk to me. What's been happening in your life? What has got you to this stage where you have found yourself in this bad situation? He would sit with me and he would talk to me. It would be incredible. That's why I would choose him as my advocate. But just the flip side of the coin. If he was just visiting me in my prison cell, and spending time with me and having coffees with me, would that really help me on my judgment day? Would that really help me when I was facing court, in court before the judge, and he's sitting having coffee and talking to me? Would it really help me? I mean, it's a no-brainer. I would need him to be defending me in court. I would need him standing before the judge defending me. Do you get it, friends? Do the lights come on, ma'am? Do you understand why Jesus had to go to heaven? Because you and I, full of sin, stuff that happens in our lives. When we stand or kneel or get before God on the side of our bed and say, God, I have sinned, I've messed up here. God, I'm sorry, I'm confessing to you what I have done. My friend, who is my advocate, he's not with me, but he's standing before the judge in heaven, pleading my case for me. I hope the lights come on for you today, friends. I hope you understand that Jesus, who conquered death, is your friend, and he defends you before the judge in heaven. And he says before God, he says, that man was guilty. That man has sinned. But he has my nail-scarred hands. Remember the blood that I shed for him. And as he's on his knees confessing his sin, forgive him, because I've already paid the price. That is the good news of why Jesus not only resurrected and rose from the grave, but he went to heaven to defend me and you. Do you know this Jesus? Do you have a relationship with this Jesus? Friends, we stand here on Easter Sunday and we understand why he wants an intimate relationship with us. He'll never leave you. He will never forsake you. Why he went to heaven. We need an advocate to defend us in heaven. See, can you see now why he's saying to Mary, I'm not going to be with you, Mary. I've got to go. Don't hold on to me. I'm going to represent you in court as your advocate, Mary. I'm your advocate, Mrs. Jacoby. He's your advocate. He fights for you. And he knows your story. And he defends you. And he defends you, Gavin. He defends you, sir. That lady whose family have immigrated to America, walking in all alone today, he knows your story. He is your advocate. He defends you. He defends you, Mr. Russell. He defends you, Auntie Vula. In 1 John 2, it says, if anyone does sin, and oh, that is me. He says, Daryl, you and you, Carl, we have an advocate with the Father. His name is Jesus Christ, the righteous one. So every time we sin in our lives and we repent, I'm repeating myself, forgive me, but it's so powerful. He stands before God and says, that man, that lady is asking for forgiveness. Forgive them because of what I have done on the cross on Easter. Amen? This grand advocacy is taking place in heaven. That's the good news on Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday is another time for us to celebrate something big that happens in our life. Let's look at verse 19 of John 20. Jesus' disciples have locked themselves in a room. They are pooping themselves because the religious leaders are after them. And they worried because the religious leaders actually were the ones that ended up killing and nailing Jesus to the cross. And they scared that maybe they're coming after them too. And so they're in this room. They've locked the door. Jesus comes and stands among them and says, peace be with you. And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side where the spear pierced his side. The disciples, it says this, they were overjoyed. Friends, are you overjoyed today because you know that Jesus is alive? They were overjoyed. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. And then he says to his disciples, as the Father sent me from heaven to earth, so I am sending you. He puts this incredible mandate on our lives, friends. He says, God sent me to this earth, and now I am sending you. Why? To continue his ministry. We come to know the truth. We come to know the beauty of this intimate relationship that we have with Jesus because of him conquering the grave. He's my advocate. He's in heaven. He defends me when I sin and when there's something wrong that I'm going through. But what about those who don't know him? What about those who don't yet understand who Jesus is and what he's done? He's saying, go, continue my ministry that I started on Easter Sunday. Those who are still living with this divide, remember the curtain's been torn, eh? The curtain's down. But what has to happen? You have to accept Jesus as your Savior. You have to be able to say, God, I want to have a relationship with you, and it's only through your Son, and so I accept Jesus as my Savior. What about those who have not yet done that? What about those who are still living in darkness? What about those who are in our city? We said Benoni on Friday. We said this, it's fact. Benoni is the city in Africa with the worst air pollution. I can't believe it, but it's true. I went and made sure. We have the worst air pollution in Africa. And relate that to our spiritual lives, friends, where people in our city are being suffocated, where they are battling to breathe because of the stuff in their lives, because of the sin, because of their past, because of their history, and it's stifling them, and they are battling to breathe spiritually. We have a mandate, friends, to fulfill the ministry of the gospel, whether we stay at Eastlands, whether we work on a building site in Ibotsi, whether we fly aeroplanes with Safair to Cape Town and back 3 times a day. We have a mandate. Let's fulfill the mandate and continue the ministry. Number 3 of what's happening and what God wants us to do. Will you carry on that ministry? And catch this, not a church's ministry, eh? Not the name of a church, the name of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus. You have to understand that today, friends. Will you continue his ministry, what he started on Easter Sunday? Jesus says, I'm sending you. Just like I was sent, I'm sending you, Bruce. I'm sending you, Gavin. I'm sending you, Kirsty. I'm sending you as you have a ministry. There's a lady here today, she looks after cats. Man, when those people drop the cats off at your house, there's a ministry. There's an opportunity for you to fulfill the mandate of what Jesus is asking you to do. Number one, there's a very intimate relationship that we have with Jesus today. He calls you by name, and he calls us brothers. Number two, he is our advocate. He fights for us before the judge in heaven. He's not with us anymore, but he wants us to continue his ministry. But are we really alone? Are we really alone as we live life here on this earth, Jonty? Jesus is in heaven. Are we really alone? Being lonely is tough, eh? Let's look at our closing verse to find out if we are really alone. Verse 22. And with that, he's with his disciples. They're in the locked room. He showed them his nail-scarred hands and his side. He's told them, guys, go. My brother's going to fulfill the ministry. With that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? With his resurrection power, by giving us his Spirit, we're not alone. There's a resurrection power from heaven where Jesus is right now. And I would love us to be able to say this morning, risen Savior, fill me with your power. Could we do that? Could you sit there and say, risen Savior? You want to say that out loud with me? Because I do. I want to say, risen Savior, fill me with your power. Let's just say it one more time. Risen Savior, fill me with your power. You don't have to go through life in your own strength. You don't have to try and fight through life on your own. You're not alone. Your risen Savior fills you with his power. That's number four. We live with the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not alone. He's with us where we can live a life of freedom. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. We have intimacy. He calls us by name. He fights for us. Let's fulfill the ministry of the cross, of him rising from the grave, as we live with the power. The same power that resurrected Jesus from the dead. In Jesus' name.